This episode is brought to you by Disney Plus.
Set in the picturesque Cotswolds, Rivals dives headfirst into the ruthless world of British television in 1986.
Where shoulder pads are big and ambitions are even bigger.
Based on the best-selling novel by Dame Jilly Cooper, the new series follows ex-Olympian and incorrigible rake Rupert Campbell Black in his long-standing feud with the controller of Corinium Television, Tony Battingham.
Starring David Tennant and Alex Hassel, egos rage, fame calls, power commands, opponents clash, and rivalries run rampant.
Everyone wants to get on top.
Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024 Disney and its related entities. 18 plus subscription required.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kill List is a true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. Follow Kill List wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about in ye old bravs. Hi, I'm Rondel. That's Ben. Hi, Benuni.
Hi, how are you?
You know, I'm doing so great. It's Friday. I just love a Friday. I know it's so basic, but I'm a basic bitch. I love a Friday, you know? TGIF.
Yeah, it's Friday. You know, we're happy. I'm really happy today because we are recapping Real Housewives of Orange County. And last night's episode, in my estimation, was a perfect episode. Like, that is a perfect episode of Real Housewives. It was so deeply entertaining, like, from start to finish. Everyone had something to say. People were being total assholes. My blood was boiling because I was like, I cannot wait to talk about this on the podcast. Anytime I'm watching these shows and I say, I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow, that's great. I think that's a great sign. But most importantly of all, Ronnie, the most important thing is that this Real Housewives of Orange County episode that took place in London resuscitated a song that we have been standing for probably 10 years, for so long that I'm like, I started to wonder if it ever existed in the first place. And this show brought the song back and proved that it was there all along. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ronnie?
God save the queen. God save the queen. And guess what? The queen is me.
And you know, that song is a classic. It was also the birth of Trixie Monocle.
Yeah.
On our show, on this here show.
Yep.
That's where Trixie Monocle was born. The great British singer who does all of the Bravo music, began on Ladies of London, has just continued her illustrious career. They've tried to replace her with some basic biatch.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is. But you know what? I shouldn't be so mean to this new person because at least they're like honoring the greats. You know what I mean? They were like, what do you want to do for this episode of Ladies of London? And she was like, you know what? I think we should give a nod to Trixie. Trixie is not forgotten. I used to listen to Trixie in junior high. I want to do a Trixie song. You know?
Yeah.
Trixie's somewhere like, you go, kid. It's a little fetus singing my song, but I'll take it.
Exactly. And they updated the lyrics for 2024. So now it's God save the king, God save the king. And guess what? The king is me, which is fine. I think they should have just kept it as queen. Like, because I think we all still say God save the queen. Even though
you can still say God save the queen, even though we didn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, like, I don't want to shame God. I know he can't do everything in the world, but it's like, God save the queen. Whoops, failed. Failed that one. He must really, really be carrying that one around. But yeah, I agree with you. We should still keep it queen, because I don't think I've accepted King Charles yet. And yeah. I know that's not really my business. It's not my country. Like, what do I have to do with it? But I just haven't accepted him. I feel like he's just a placeholder. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Well, he's not real. I still haven't forgiven him for Camilla, to be honest.
I just, the truth is that we're actually going to, I don't know if in our lifetimes we are going to have another Queen of England, because I think it's kings here on out for a little while, right? I don't know how the lineage works, but we have William, he's a boy, and then he's got like several little boys, and we don't even know what their little boys are going to have, but by the time those kids have kids, I don't think that
I feel like there I won't think, be kings anymore.
I feel like
they're just going to be done with it.
I just feel like if I had realized that Queen Elizabeth was our last queen, probably in our lifetime, I think I would have, like, I don't know. I feel like I would have felt a different way. But I'm just realizing now we don't have any more.
Like, you didn't cry hard enough over Elizabeth. Do you want to cry now?
I would like to have a delayed cry.
Mourn now. Mourning doesn't have an expiration date. People do.
I'm sad I didn't have a. It makes me retroactively sad that I didn't have a moment where I was like, guys, that's our last queen in England.
Like, yeah.
I missed my window to do that.
Yeah, you missed your window.
And everyone's like, stupid. Now.
Yeah. It's done. So here we are with this show. If you want this on video, watch What Crappens, Patreon. That's where we're on video. Hi.
Yeah.
And also our bonus episodes. Currently, they are Below Deck sailing episodes. So go over there. Thanks to everyone who supports. Let's get on with this recap.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, let's never forget, by the way, there will be kings, there will be queens. But one thing that will always stay the same is that Gina will always be an asshole. So, you know.
Gina wins for me. Gina was great in this episode. I love Gina.
Gina was great, but she was a total hypocrite. In my book, she was 100% a hypocrite.
Well, they all are. But I think that Gina had a good episode, this one. And I was glad to see her finally stand up to Heather. I mean, this was really an episode of people standing up against each other, against the villains. Heather and Tamara both looked like total shitheads. I mean, they already are shitheads. Everyone knows it. But they looked even worse. They looked pathetic tonight. Little bratty children. I was so glad to see them both get called out. And I loved someone calling Heather out on her bullshit. Because usually when someone brings the old victim storyline in, like, well, you didn't ask me if I could have cancer. Well, you said cancer in a sentence, so nobody can call you a selfish asshole, right? Because you've got cancer, or you could. You just invoked the word cancer. And I love that Gina was like, no, I don't care. I'm going to call you out anyway. And then Tamara this week, as I'm sure you've read this news, Tamara did a preemptive strike because she knew this episode was coming out. So this week she shows up on the Two T's in a Pod. And she's like,
Teddy, I went to therapy one time, and guess what I discovered about myself? I'm on the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum. Can you believe it? And that's why I can't really feel empathy towards other people.
First of all, you're a fucking sociopath, okay? That's not what on the spectrum means. And second of all the internet came and attacked her, because you don't get diagnosed by being on the spectrum from one time at therapy. It just doesn't work that way, and it's so offensive to everybody who deals with that in any way. I mean, Tamara, we thought it was bad when you went to Jesus that season, okay? That was low of you to try and pull a Christian card for people to stop calling you out on your shit. But now you're going for this? That's really bad. It's really bad. She had to finally come out and say,
guess what? I guess I spoke too soon, and it's an ongoing process. Maybe we'll decide later if I'm on the spectrum or not. I don't know.
It's like, yeah, okay. Nice try.
I've never seen the spectrum card pulled before. In a weird way, I was impressed. I was like, wow, I did not know that was a card you could pull on The Real Housewives. I didn't know that card existed. It's like,
she's a trailblazer.
It's like in Magic the Gathering when they come out with like a rare card. And everyone like fights to get it and pays like $2 million for it. It's like Tamara found a new card. She did it. Post Malone is going to buy her.
I've also never seen anybody being like, oh, I'm on the spectrum. Like, they just found out, I don't know, that they're, you know, that they're behind in their car lease and now they're getting, you know, late payments or something. Like, I've never heard. Well, she's just such nice try.
Yeah.
Nice try.
It was a good try.
But I have to say, there was a time when the audience would have just been like, oh no, everybody stop saying anything. Stop calling Tamara out. She's on the spectrum now. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the audience is savvy enough to be like, no, 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 ma'am. You're not, you don't get to pull this. Like,
this, hey, Teddy, 97 bench packs, 97 bench
packs. No, you don't get to pull that, Tamara. Stop.
I think we actually are pulling the, we are burying the true lead here, though, which is that this episode was probably most significant, all jokes aside about Trixie Monocle, etc., for being Jen's true coming out episode. Jen, her meltdown, basically two seasons worth of frustration with Tamara. And she has sniped at Tamara before. She has clapped back at Tamara. But here she finally was like, fuck it. Her confrontation with Tamara was really wonderful. She really stood her ground. I was cringing, but not for her, but mainly because I was like, you guys are in a 5-star hotel screaming at the top of your lungs. You're going to get in trouble. But, you know, Jen had a really, I think, you could argue like maybe Gina had a great episode, maybe she didn't, but I think it's unequivocal that Jen killed it this episode.
Yeah, she really did. It was nice to see. And a lot of times on the show, we've always said the second season is when the bitch flower blooms. That's when somebody like goes, they've read all the negative stuff on Twitter about themselves and they've come back paranoid and ready to go. And they're just mad, screaming, whatever. You see the bad side. They can't hide it anymore in whatever way. And this didn't happen for her. This really, like, her orange blossomed in this one. She really just, like, came through. She proved that she deserves a spot. And she did not take anything from Tamara. And I love that. And she didn't get low. She went right to the edge of going extremely low when she was like, my kids are still with me and my family. You know, she was right there. But she also knows that the second you say your kids don't even talk to you, then Tamara gets to go, you talked about my kids. It pushed me over the spectrum. I fell off the spectrum thanks to Jen. Jen pushed me off the spectrum. I'm in a spectrum pool now, Jen.
I'm on the spectrum between hot and a bad bitch.
You know, also, I mean, this episode was remarkable for the way the women so blatantly just push each other into fights. You know, Shannon's mad at Tamara, so she's like, oh, by the way, here, look at this thing that Tamara did to you, Jen. Now go fight with her. Like, everyone is just like, everyone's doing it nonstop. I mean, Gina does it every, like, I don't know, like, well, we're going to get into it. We should probably just start because there are a lot of different arguments to go through, and we're probably going to weigh in on all of them, probably with blustery voices, and it's time. It's time. My body is ready for this episode. Okay, so we start off with that song, God Save the King, God Save the King, and everyone's getting ready the next day after Shannon, you know, like the Shannon dinner that didn't go so well, and Heather and Tamara are talking about, I guess, going to a place. She's like, Heather's looking at a place. She's like, look, there's a place called Mayfair Chippies for fish and chips. I want that. I want that fish and chips to throw at servants around London. That will be hilarious. We're getting on a double-decker bus, right? I love the added height that gives.
That's going to make us poop.
Disgusting, Tamara. I don't poop. I haven't pooped since 1992. Then Gina and Shannon are getting room service, and Emily comes in, and Shannon's like,
what are you eating with your with your bacon? What is that?
And she's like, mayonnaise
for the bacon.
Why don't you try it on your omelet, Shannon?
She's like, I'm not a mayonnaise fan.
No.
Well,
you seem sad. I mean, you always seem sad, but like you're a different kind of sad. You're like British sad today. Your sadness has a British accent. Don't be sad. I don't want you to be sad, Governor.
Well, I wish things could roll off me, but last night was so unexpected for me. It was just so, especially when I said at the beginning of dinner, after talking about John Chanson for an hour and a half, that I don't want to talk about John Chanson anymore. what a shock.
I just want to have a peaceful dinner. And then we see flashbacks of the dinner, which was basically culminates in Shannon screaming through those slats like, Tamara Judge, don't you ever call me a victim.
So it's just hard for me to say, I feel attacked from last night. Let's just go on the bus. Let's just go on a bus. Why don't you just put me on the ground, run me over with the bus. Just do that. That would be more fun. Jesus Christ, are you going to drink that with a straw, Emily? Just put the mayonnaise away.
I can't help it.
You know, I am done with the explaining. I don't need to explain myself, although later on I will pull out some receipts to explain myself. You know, especially to Tamara Judge.
So then we go to a spa with Tamara and Katie. And there are these, like, modern wavy chair things. And Tamara's like,
wow, this rocks. I got one of these at home. It's called the sex chair.
Yeah.
I poop on it. I put sex and poop in two seats. I'm batting 1,000.
I got it from Costco. My mom gave me a discount.
And we actually see Tamara's sex chair, in case no one believes her. And Katie is like, oh, I should get Matt one for his birthday. Ha ha ha.
Okay, all right, bitch. So what time did you wind up going to bed? And talks about like going to bed and ordering pizza and everything. And she's like, Katie's like, you know, here's what I don't understand. Like, why can't Shannon just sit and talk? You know, she gets super emotional and just storms out all the time.
Well, hi. Welcome to the show. Yes, that's what she
does.
It's
called making a trailer.
It's like asking why Bert and Ernie always have hands stuck up their ass. They're puppets. It's what they do. Stop questioning people's nature and just roll with it.
They also have a Tamara's specific kink.
Or a specific kink, yeah.
That's why I'd step away from her. I just want Shannon to take accountability. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. Hold on. I need to take my medication. I feel something come on off. I feel something. If I was in the movie, it would be called Rain Bitch.
Hold on. So,
27 toothpicks.
So then we see flashbacks of, you know, Shannon talking. Again, it's just more about this, like the loan, et cetera, et cetera. And Katie's like, here's my thing. If I'm struggling to pay my bills, which she claims she was, and she says I couldn't pay my Amex bills.
She's always struggling.
Yeah. Then why would I get plastic surgery? So, by the way, like this whole episode is people questioning how and why people spend their money, and then other people getting mad that someone would question them and then turning around and questioning someone else's spending choices.
Yeah, but this whole spending stuff, it's like a comment thread of a Housewives where people are like, wait, she doesn't really have that much money. Wait, who has that much money? It's not supposed to be for the cast. I mean, geez, that's our favorite pastime. The cast is supposed to pretend they're rich. That's how they get on this show.
Yeah. You know? So they're basically like, yeah, why would she get plastic surgery if she has no money? And Tamara's like,
Shannon lives way beyond her means. She throws money around as if she's a multimillionaire, and she's not.
And then we see a reminder of this, that she gave everyone Burberry scarves last episode.
Well, hey, listen, if somebody's living above their means, at least they're giving you shit. You know what I mean? What are you complaining about? Oh, and you did complain about that gift, you fucking gift horse mouth lookers. Also, you have to look money to make money, okay? No one wants to just give money to you when you're not looking your best. So she may be standing outside the Home Depot looking for painting work soon, but she's going to look damn good doing it.
I think people underestimate the true moneymaker that is selling salmon stuffed with cream cheese. So everyone just needs to step off Shannon Bedore, okay? Just step
for
back.
For real. For real the real. So Tamara's like, well, do you know what I'm thinking about my retirement? Yeah, that's funny. That's exactly what the audience is thinking about too. Isn't that crazy?
So now we go to a pool area, and Gina and Jen are hanging out there, just sort of sitting by the edge of the pool. And Gina's like, this is great. It's so warm. And Jen's like, I love that. Yeah, let's get my tootsies in the water. She goes, you know, I feel like this feels like you, because to me, this kind of has a New York vibe. This pool area is way too refined and upscale to be Gina.
Oh no, I think she means London.
Because you know, my London's point remains. Like New York. they have a building called Big Ben. That's literally the opposite of Gina's entire architectural story.
And Gina's like, I feel so comfortable here. I feel like I'm in Manhattan. Which I didn't really live in. But still,
It was close. I knew where it was. So there was that.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it feels like, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ben. I'm so sorry, Ben.
You know, those Please big go. Ferris wheels in Manhattan and the big palaces and the giant clock. It's just like Manhattan.
So all the people sweeping chimneys, all the nannies flying around with umbrellas. It's crazy. It's exactly the scene.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life.
Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye?
Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala?
From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products.
Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party.
So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
Jen's like, oh God, it just feels like home. Really does. Just feels like home. Well, the one I got kicked out of. That was cold. It was cold there. The heat was turned off. So I don't know why I'm talking about this. Say something about Manhattan again.
Oh my God, I love Manhattan. Shannon showed me the text message thread from Alexis from years ago that literally specifically said, like, everything you and Tamara said was lies, and we will be getting an attorney, and we will be suing you, which totally confirms what Shannon was saying.
It's like, what? 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 Did she send that to Tamara? Yeah, and nobody's even heard about it. I can't believe Tamara sits across from the table knowing that Shannon is telling the truth and instead chooses to attack her for lying that two-bedroom, two-bath is a steal at $1.6 million. Sorry. Sorry.
By the way, we had to make this conversation quick because I'm thinking about standing outside Buckingham Palace and waving a flyer around hoping to land the Windsors as clients for Orange County. So Jen,
sorry about the death in your family. You don't have to do this alone. Call Gina. I'll wait for your loan.
So Jen is like, you know, I've known Tamara a long time and Tamara lives her receipts. I'm sure Tamara knew this text existed. This is like what makes her thrive. She probably kept it a secret because she's such a hater for Shannon. She'd rather befriend Alexis and ignore the lawsuit if it meant it was a takedown on Shannon. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me the space to say something mean about Tamara.
And Gina's like, God, those girls are just haters. Heather and Tamara are just mean to Shannon for no reason at this point. Like, they're judging every movement. So then we cut to the spa, and they're still talking about Shannon. And Tamara's like,
Shannon's superpower is making people feel sorry for her. It's like those people in the crosswalk, you hit one and they're just on the ground like, wah, wah, wah. Like, what is that, your superpower? Fucking need to get up, Superman.
That's what she does. She's always playing the victim. I learned this when I got my diagnosis of being on the spectrum, America. But she's gonna come back to Heather. She's gonna write about last night. She's gonna think about last night. She's gonna come up with a different answer because she twists things. I told Heather, be prepared, bitch.
So Heather comes over to Shannon's room, and Emily's like, oh, I want some mayonnaise.
Disgusting, Emily. Please keep that away from me. Hi, good morning. Okay, Shannon, I don't like how things were left last night. I know you were upset. I just wanted to come and talk. So let's do it. Let's fucking talk. Look at me, a human friend.
Mm-hmm. Heather, mm-hmm. Heather, I am blown away about what you said last night. You and I had a discussion at the beginning of the year about rebuilding trust. And then when we were in Sonoma, I made it very clear to you that that conversation needed to stay between you and I and the cameras and the executives of Bravo and eventually all of America, but mainly you and I.
And Heather's doing that thing where she's pursing her lips and just nodding with her brows kind of furrowed, like,
I am listening to you. I am listening to everything you say, because that is what people do. Am I doing this correctly?
I wonder if Wendy Malick is enjoying a free trip to London right now. Probably not. Sorry, Shannon, what were you saying?
So Heather's just like, I already knew about this fucking story with John Jansen. Shannon tells everybody. And then when we all figure out that we all know anyway and we talk about it, she acts like we're betraying her by saying anything about it. Okay, that may be true, but you are betraying her by making it sound like she was doing something nefarious when she was being grilled on the radio and she said, I don't want to talk about something by saying, I don't even remember. Like, I haven't even thought about that. She was exasperated. Like, I haven't even thought about that, Jeff. Like, that never even crossed my mind, Jeff. And now you're making it to be this big lie. Like, you've got something, another thing in John Jansen's favor. Like, you're just being an asshole to Shannon to stand up for some loser you don't even fucking know. Like, what's your deal, lady?
Well, I think that, yeah, I don't think that Heather should have brought up that private conversation in Sonoma, because I didn't see that what Shannon said on Jeff Lewis was exactly the same as what she told Heather. I think she just sort of vaguely mentioned it. But,
yeah, she didn't lie.
Yeah, I think that Heather for sure could bring up, like you said, it was a gift, and now you said on Jeff Lewis it was a loan. I think that can be, you know, discussed. So Shannon's like, you know, that was a big deal to open up and tell you that story. She goes, and I understood that, and I was trying to be a friend and hug you, and you were so upset. But when I heard you on Jeff Lewis, and you were so flippant about it, like someone just casually disrespecting my IMDb, still mad at you, Taylor Armstrong, note that you're not here anymore. It was just the opposite of what you were saying.
She's like, well, I have the right to defend myself against John Jansen. And that is it. Oh, God. Why am I eating mayonnaise?
Told ya. It gets you. It'll get ya. And so Heather's like, well, don't you just think maybe I'll pay him and then this just dies away? No, fuck off. No.
But also, she offered that. Shannon offered to pay him and he turned it down.
But Heather and Tamara will never, ever accept that. They'll just keep repeating this thing that Shannon's trying not to pay. It's their mission. I don't know what it is, but they're just going to repeat it until everybody believes it. Even though we've seen on the show, it's been said quite clearly, this is bullshit. But those two are just going to keep spinning that lie. Like, you just won't pay the money. You're cheap. Like, fuck off, lady.
So,
I ain't paying that money. I'm not giving him shit.
Shannon's like, well, you know what? I'm going to get my papers. Everyone, watch out. I'm getting my papers. So she goes in the bedroom and Heather's like, oh, she's like my mom. Lot of papers. My mom has a lot of papers. I'm just imagining all the receipts that Heather's mom has just on Heather. Like, well, Heather, on Tuesday, July 16th, 1994, if you remember, you came into the house and you said hello to your father and not to me. So I think you should think twice before you give me attitude now.
No kidding.
Heather, this is $4.99 for the Ben & Jerry's carton I bought after you so rudely made fun of me with your sorority sisters when you were living in that hideous attic. And I got depressed and had to eat some ice creams. Owe me some money on that one.
Let's see. I've got a piece of paper right here. It says here it is. February 3rd, 1989. I, mother of the year, picks up my daughter at the Horace Greeley School in Chappaqua, and daughter gets in the back seat and immediately starts listening to her Walkman without asking her wonderful mother how her day was. So, you know, I don't hold grudges, Heather, but just know you did scar me forever that day.
Or just to keep it more recent, just so you don't think I stopped paying attention to you, I have this receipt from just last week. I was passing a billboard for a sitcom called Happy's Place, starring Reba McEntire, and you were not in the cast, which is just another disappointment for your old mother.
to share with her friends.
So well, I read the script, Mother, and I refuse to be in any sort of sitcom that depicted a place that was not next to Drake's house.
So they're like, what do you have papers for? That's ridiculous. She's like, well, this is what I spend my time doing at home now. Don't say I don't have a hobby. And she whips out all these little loose leaf pieces of paper with numbers on them. And it looks like that Jim Carrey movie where he couldn't stop writing numbers on the walls.
It's like the number 23 or whatever it was called. But like, he's like, she's decided to do all her research on loose leaf paper, spiral bound loose leaf paper. But even worse, it's not even like a full size notebook. It's like the small ones that, like, you know, reporters used to use back in like the 80s. Mm-hmm. So she has all these little pages and they just start cracking up because she's like, here's one. Oh, look at this. I bought him some bazooka gum. Huh. Well, there's a dollar in the tip jar for you, Johnny J.
I was like, well, the first 6 months of our relationship, of airfare for four trips, $13,411. Every family dinner we went to, $618. $16,000. Oh, well, I'm glad you find humor in this.
But she does have the total of quite a few receipts that she spent on that guy. Who's like, what? Me taken care of? She didn't do anything for me. Well, she's got 60 grand of receipts of shit she paid for you. Yeah. So.
Do you even know what Excel is?
Well, if it's if that has anything to do with David Bedour and his relationships, apparently no. I don't know. Was that a diss? It felt a little misformed. So
it's what Tamara was trying to do with her gym for all those years.
Oh, I got it. Well, no, I don't have that.
It's something that Wendy Malick is not aware of.
So Heather's like, oh, God, I'm having a hot flash. And Shannon's like, well, I do know how to add things in Excel. So there, tell your goddamn midlife crisis that... What is it called when you go through the change?
Menopause!
Yeah, tell your menopause that! Heather, oh, geez. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like Heather saying, like, you know, laughing at Shannon with all these, like, antiquated pieces of paper. And she's like, I thought she was going to come back, like with an accountant and, like, a file and a microfiche. I was like, well, you know, your example is also not so current either. A microfiche.
So they're just making fun of her for the notebook and stuff. And Heather's like, yeah, that's when even when I'm annoyed with her, I just can't be mad because she's just Shannon. She didn't do anything to you. She's the one who should be mad. Those fucked up ways people think on this show. It makes me cry. Heather makes me fucking cry. And, you know, I have to say, it's actually liberating to be so enraged by Heather because I've spent this whole year completely fine with Heather. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Am I just going soft?
I have to say I'm Heather not enraged
sucks,
by her.
And it feels so good to just realize, yeah, Heather still sucks, you know? Oh, it just feels so not, good. It's like, what a Friday.
That was not my takeaway.
I know you love Heather. Okay.
No, but not even that. Like, I didn't really feel like Heather did anything like terribly egregious this episode.
It's over the past few episodes and it's just her sitting there sniping with Tamara and like giggling and making poor jokes and just all of her shit. I'm just so sick of her shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just feels good to feel sick of her shit and just being out about it. I tried with you, Heather. I tried. It's over. We're done.
So Jen, back to the pool. Jen is like, by the way, did you hear Heather last night say she felt very used? And Gina's like, yeah, it's like you felt used. Like, what does this even have to do with you? Like, I don't know what's going on with Heather, honestly. Like, the whole, like, that mammogram thing last night, that was, like, bullshit. And Jen's like, yeah, I'm confused because she sent me a text saying she had family history, but she didn't feel comfortable talking about it. So out of respect, I'm not going to bring up your family history and what you don't want to talk about. And we see Heather's text. And it says, this is so important for our health. And what a great thing you are all doing by putting this on TV. I have told some of you, blank doesn't want it on camera. So Gina's like, that was like very upsetting. And she had
hold on a sec, because this is amazing. How can you still say like you didn't see anything egregious Heather did? This proves that Heather emailed everyone as a group and was like, I don't want to talk about this shit on camera. And then she acted like a victim and started crying that nobody asked her about anything on camera. I mean, Heather is just such a manipulative asshole.
Like, I actually felt like, at first I was like, wow. And then I actually felt like her response, which was like, I didn't want to talk about family history about it. I just wanted you guys to ask me how my mammogram went.
I felt like
that was actually totally acceptable. I did.
You're ridiculous.
No, she had a mammogram and literally no one asked her. And they, okay, and the reason why they didn't ask her was they had like five different reasons why. And it was basically to cover up that they just were being, they just didn't want to ask her.
Honestly, their reasons were totally natural. She was literally cheering in the other room going, yay.
Yeah, clear, I mean, listen, mammogram. I understand
we
why
did it. I'm clear. How come nobody asked me about my mammogram?
Here, okay, actually, here's where I stand on this, which is that I thought the way it was all handled in the last episode was actually totally fine, which is that Heather said, it hurt me that you guys didn't ask. They were all like, oh, so sorry, which I thought was totally cool of them to say. Shannon was like, I heard you cheering, so I thought everything was fine, which I think is a totally fair mistake. And it, you know, and then it just like you move on. I think here where I'm mad is that Gina has decided I'm going to go back to the situation where Heather has made me feel bad because I didn't check in on her to ask how her mammogram is, which she should have. I'm sorry. She should have still asked, how was your mammogram? And now Gina is going to somehow like use. She's so annoyed that Gina's been put in this situation where she's the bad guy, which is something that Gina always does. She's always been a shitty friend. She turns on everyone all the time. And the moment she gets accused of being a bad friend, she always flips it around and finds some way to make someone else look shitty. So now what she's going to do is she's like, you know what? Like, that made me feel bad about the mammogram thing. I'm sorry, Gina. You should have just asked, how was your mammogram? Okay, it's a serious thing, because guess what? She got bad news, you know?
Well, I think Gina's point is that Heather is just like, I'm going to use this to make everybody look shitty, and she didn't even care. Like, Heather didn't even really care. It's just like her moment to have a cry and make everybody else look bad, and she's constantly making Gina look bad on this show and complaining that what a bad friend Gina is and this and that, and how Gina hurt her feelings and this and that. And so I was so glad to see her call Heather out on her bullshit, because I thought it was a totally manipulative scene.
I don't think Heather being like,
even the text is so Heather, like, hi everybody, I'm so proud of what you're doing on television, getting a mammogram, what groundbreakers we are for this scene that I planned. Oh Jesus, get her a fucking Purple Heart. She's just ridiculous. I'm so glad that Gina's like, fuck her. She's acting so nice and she's an asshole. This girl's a fake manipulative asshole trying to make us all look bad when she literally sent us a text asking her to keep stuff off of camera. And when you send people a text, you can't just be like, oh, well, I want some things kept off camera, but I still want to talk about other possible cancer. You know, what do you want, Heather? You know?
I mean, here... Again, like when I saw that text at this part of the episode, I was definitely like, oh, that's shady of Heather. Wow. But then when I think Heather explains it, then it's like, oh, okay, I see what she's saying. And I think that Gina at that point should have been like, oh, okay, got it. But like, she doesn't do that, you know? And I just think this is so classic Gina, especially, I think what I'm also mad about is the larger context of what we get into right here. So Gina's like, you know, she's like, you know, that was really upsetting. And you know what? I heard through the grapevine a lot of chatter about going on about your dress at the tea party, Jen. And Heather was in Neiman Marcus and called up Tamara and said, I just passed Jen's dress. And we see this thing that the dress cost $2,000. And she's like, yeah, she was like, why is she wearing a $2,000 Dolce & Gabbana dress if she's having a financial issues? So that is, by the way, yes, incredibly nosy of Heather. That means she did have to actually stop, look at the dress, look at the price tag. She had a whole thought process of like, let me see what Jen is up to. But the fact that Gina is here on this episode and she has the balls to actually put someone on blast for counting Jen's money when we had to sit through many episodes at the beginning of the season of Gina being like, why is she going to Vegas and she can't even pay her rent? Why is she doing this? She made me look bad. She can't pay her money. She screamed at her in a coffee shop. And now Gina's going to go and act like Heather is like this big villain for doing this. Like what Heather did is definitely shady. But I'm like, Gina, you did this first. You were the one who got the ball rolling on this entire thing. You're the one who alerted everyone, who made it a thing that Jen is doing badly financially. And now you're going to call out other people who are following your lead.
Well, no one's following Gina's lead. First of all, Gina was not the one that started that. Tamara was the one who started all this shit. And Gina was triggered by Jen's whatever, because Gina's another poor person. And also, Gina apologized. I think that's the main difference between her and Heather. Gina actually apologized to Jen, and they made it better. And then she realized she was triggered because of her own situation, and then kind of got over it, and they moved on and did their own thing. So, yes, she was an asshole the first half of the season, but she made up with Jen. And I think now she's saying, like, we're the two quote unquote poor ones. And it's this like super rich lady worth hundreds of millions of dollars sitting over there, like making fun of how poor we are. And that's bullshit. Like, why are we sitting here kissing this lady's ass? And I think that Jen is right to be like, fuck Heather. So I'm glad. I hope it's like the battle of the poors versus the rich. Eat the rich, I say. She doesn't have much meat on her bone, but she's probably got a hairpiece that would taste decent with some mustard. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would understand why Jen would be upset. Like, that makes sense. I just think it's like, I think, pun intended, I think it's quite rich that Gina is the one that is suddenly like, I can't believe she was talking about your money. I can't believe she was talking about how you spend your money. It's like, Gina, let's not forget your role in all this season, too.
Well, I think, you know, look, I'm not going to be a total hypocrite, and I'm going to say I agree with you, because, you know, I was enraged at Gina the first half of the season. But, you know, maybe she's a total hypocrite, but in this episode, I'm on her side because she's a fighter against Heather, and so I'm going to ride or die for Gina. It's never happened. It's literally never happened in the history of our recapping this show, but today I'm on Team Gina, and I'm sticking with it. Fuck off, Heather. Go, Gina. Go, Pores. Get her.
I'm not there. I don't think I'm there on my journey. Yet I don't think I can really take Gina's side ever. I felt like Gina was having a nice rebound middle of the season, but this was too much for me. I was like, I just can't sit here and listen to Gina try to make someone mad about how someone else is talking about their money, even if it is Heather. And even though I hold at the same time that what Heather was doing with Tamara was mean girl shit, but I just still, I'm like, Gina's just not, she's not the messenger that I will accept.
Well, she's the messenger that we've got, you know? Would like, I like Brad like Pitt to be delivering like, well, my mail? Sure. But I've got some lady with scraggly hair who leaves me notes about how my trash cans are too close to the mailbox. You know, what am I going to do? Kick her in the nuts every time I see her? No, I'm going to say thank you for the mail.
She's FedEx ground. She's like, you know what? It's not the messenger we want. It's the only one that was available to me. The message is going to come in late, maybe battered, maybe not at all. But it's what we have. Oh, by the way, I have an update on my parents' lawsuit against Federal Express, which is, I believe that my parents were like, okay, we're going to take it to court, and FedEx folded. So thank you. Thank you, Wheels of Justice, finally working, and my parents are getting compensated for the package that FedEx broke and then wouldn't compensate my parents for originally. So there is happy news today.
There you go. There you go. That's great. Congratulations, guys. Mandelkurtz killed it. Earned this one, guys. You earned it.
A rare victory against FedEx ground.
Yeah, it was a lesson to us all. Threats work.
Yes.
Keep it up.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Tamara, back with the other girls, Tamara's like, do you realize that Jen's dress was $2,000? And she's like, that's not a good look. You don't get $6,000 a month and spend $2,000 of it on the dress. She's got a rich boyfriend. Since when has had a problem? You guys live in the Orange fucking County of all places. Is this new to you?
Yeah. By the way, here's another element of this that I think we really have to discuss, which is that Heather, her biggest mistake is not looking at the price tag of that dress. Because you know what? I think we're all allowed to be a little shady. We are allowed to be shady. Her mistake is that she repeatedly confides in people like Tamara, and then Tamara outs it, and then it becomes public discourse, and then it becomes a whole thing and becomes gossipy, and it gets back to the person, and then the person feels shitty. Heather has to stop telling Tamara shit. How many times does Tamara have to burn Heather before Heather realizes Tamara is not to be trusted or confided in?
Well, she doesn't. I don't know that she trusts her. I think that she just looks at Tamara as, look, Tamara's the one that no one fucks with. Tamara, nobody fucks with because she's terrifying and she'll ruin your life. Like, she doesn't care if she has to lie to do it. She will ruin your life. Heather is, everyone's terrified of Heather because she's so rich and she can block people from opportunities in their town. So they're both feared by the other ladies. And I think they have this friendship because of it. It's like, they probably don't even really like each other, but they're both the feared ones. And so they're like the HBICs, you know?
Or the other way is that I'm actually misinterpreting it, which is that Heather intentionally tells Tamara because she knows Tamara's going to go disseminate the information. And it's the sort of messy thing that Heather doesn't want to do, but she knows that Tamara will love to do. So she just sends it out via Tamara Express.
Well, this is already stuff that everybody's been talking about all season, right? Jen being too poor. She can't afford anything she's wearing. Why is she doing this? I mean, it's been the plot for two seasons now. So it's not like it's necessarily anything new. I think it's just so offensive to hear. It's like, you're still being like this about me? Like, you're still being mean?
Where was Jen's energy,
making up or being nice, you know?
Sorry to interrupt. I'm obviously fired up by this episode. Where was Gina's energy for Emily, by the way, when Emily was blatantly rude about this topic to Jen's face? I would like to know that.
Oh, about her being poor?
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, Heather is not the only one who has had these thoughts and has had these observations. I mean, Katie and Tamara are talking about it actively while this is happening.
No, but Emily's in your face. Emily's like, where did you get that money? Hey, I saw a ring on your finger. Where'd you get it? Like, Emily is an asshole, but she's at least an asshole to your face, whereas Heather is just like a big fakey jackal face who is an asshole behind everyone's back and then acts like fucking Queen Mary, and then she gets, when she gets in trouble, she's like the biggest victim in the world.
I think
it's because of Heather's level of hypocrisy.
I think ultimately Gina was caught red-handed being an inconsiderate friend. She should have asked about the mammogram, and rather than just like accept that and do her whole like, I feel mad, she is decided she wants to blow this thing up into a whole big spectacle, and that's exactly what she's doing.
Okay, well, let's move on from the mammogram talk. I can't take anymore. And we're going to come back to it, I'm sure, 10 times in this recap, because it keeps coming up. So Tamara's like, you know, I'm sure that Ryan bought that, and I'm concerned. Because now she's a single mom, and if things don't work out between her and Ryan. And listen, it sounds like there's already stress with the FBI, huh? And she's like, oh, yeah, what is that? She goes, well, Ryan is partners with a guy that's a bookie, and so he's being investigated by the FBI. And, you know, they would always go to the Bahamas or Vegas on private jets, and that's because they were being paid by the casino to go gamble. Katie's like, oh, my God, she's going to the Bahamas after this. Yeah, she's with a rich guy who works for a fucking professional gambler. At least he has a job. And if she's stuck panhandling, she's going to be doing it in Dolce & Gabbana.
Right.
Fuck you two.
So then we see Katie's like, you know, the conflict around Ryan concerns me because I've sat in the same place that Jen is at. And you get to a point where you trust your partner, and then you get smacked with all these things and people are like, are you an idiot? And you're like, yeah, I guess I was. The only thing I've learned is you always have to have a plan B. I'm like, now, to be fair, people were asking Jen this before the FBI made any sort of raids. So, it's time for Jen to look at the cold hard facts.
So then Tamara's like, I just feel for her. Where would she go? She got into trouble. Just me, Tamara, worried about other people. So then we go back to Gina and Jen, and now they're talking about Tamara. And Jen's like, oh, Jesus, she just keeps attacking. Mm-hmm. And Gina's like, well, you're with Ryan, and he's stepping up for you, and you're navigating through it. And I feel like if you had to put up a sheet in your kids' rooms so that they could have some privacy, Ryan would help screw it into the ceiling. It's kind of glorious.
Yeah, but on the one hand, she says that, like, why doesn't she focus on that? She goes, well, she has no ability or capability of being an actual friend. And if you guys don't think she runs her mouth about everyone in this group, and Gina's like, oh, I'm aware. I'm like, you know, the thing is this, I don't understand why Jen and Tamara are friends in the first place, because Tamara was so terrible to Jen last season, like really bad. And then they come back this season like, oh, everything's fine. I'm like, it's a little bit on you too, Jen. You should have, a leopard doesn't change its spots. And, you know, there's a lot of leopard patterns in Orange County.
Well, I think that everyone we've talked to says that Tamara is really nice in real life. Like, she's not like this at all. She's really a nice, fun, sweet person. Everybody loves her. The crew loves her. Blah, blah, blah. She's like Mary fucking Poppins when she's not on the show. And then she gets on the show and she considers it her job to be a monster. And so then she turns vile and disgusting and ugly. So I think that Jen probably looks at it like, oh, well, in the off season, Tamara's lovely again and we have a great time together and everything's great. And then they get on camera and Tamara goes back to her ways.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That's the vibe I'm getting, because Jen seems literally shocked that Tamara's doing this again. You know,
I'm like, you already have a season under your belt of this happening. So yeah. Now everyone...
And she says, she's like, you know, Tamara is like, I just keep letting this woman, I mean, she railroads me over and over again. And part of me is like, you know what? Thank you for using a train instead of planes. It's a lot less pollution to the world. So thank you very much. But on the second hand, I think, why would I just do this? I mean, at some point you have to ask, am I the idiot? And then she just stares at the camera and blinks. And I'm like, are we supposed to answer that?
I'm like,
is that figurative?
how many pieces of evidence do you want us to present to you? It's a lot, and some of it has paint splatter on it. So the women, they go downstairs, they meet in the lobby, and
was that personal?
Oh wow, look at that. Ronnie has paint on his hands. That's an exclusive to Patreon. Crap is on demand. So
the color of my living room,
yes,
Crappin's blue.
It is Crappin's blue. So everyone walks downstairs and they meet in the lobby, and Shannon is wearing a purple cape, of course. And then she's given, and Emily's in a red cape, and they're wearing tiaras, and, you know, Shannon's going to give out outfits to her ladies in waiting. And she goes, even though I am hurt by what happened last night, it's my birthday and I did not check an extra bag full of capes for nothing. So as long as I'm taking on $65 of expenses, I will put on a smile and have a fun time today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to be wearing no tiara. I'm sorry, but my forehead is stapled all the way back to the back of my cranium. I can't really do that right now. Sorry. Maybe soon, bitch.
So they get onto a double-decker bus, and it's very exciting. They get on, and they're on the top. Shannon keeps calling herself the Duchess of Corona Del Mar, and I, every time she says that to someone in London, I feel like I see them smiling, but they have absolutely no idea what she's talking about. They don't know what Corona Del Mar is.
You know what's so funny is even if you're so classy in London, I feel like even if you're like, oh, hello, do you know the way to the tube? They still look at you like you're American trash.
Yeah.
Because you have an American accent. So you might as well go around telling people you're a duchess and handing out plastic tiaras. Why not?
Yeah. Never forget the woman with the green pants on the London Tube who shamed us for watching The Real Housewives.
Oh,
how could you watch that?
Yeah.
It's funny that we were even having a conversation with her in the first place, but there
it's
you go.
It's a lot easier than watching you, toots. Yeah. Look ahead.
Enjoy masturbating with a crumpet. So Gina's like,
what?
So they're driving around, they're seeing all the sights, the London Eye, Big Ben. Gina's like, where's little Ben, huh? And then you know, Heather, they're waving, and Gina's like, guys, I feel like a princess. Like, only Gina's the sort of person that would get on a bus and feel like a princess.
This is so glamorous. Someone else is driving me.
It's like, wait a second. You're all waving wrong. Aren't we supposed to wave like this? And she does like a different wave. She's like, I learned this at Syracuse Acting School. So, they're all doing it. People are watching like, oh, God, these Americans. Yeah. And everything's fine. It seems like it's a fun day of touring around London. What could possibly go wrong?
It was funny because the tour guy's just like, are we supposed to hear that? What the fuck are you saying? Could you turn it up?
He's so never going to land a role with that sort of articulation.
Gina's like, oh, I'll talk about something interesting. Last night I went to bed, and you know that whole mammogram thing? I just didn't get it. Heather's like, what don't you get? That scene's over. I have to get back into the emotional state for that scene. Hold on. It's not working. Somebody.
You know, Gina, I just perfected my royal wave, and now you're ruining it. And so Gina's like, you know what? I obviously feel bad for your point of view and how you felt that day. But like before we even went there, you had texted us and you like didn't want to talk about it. She goes, well, I can't tell my family's history because that's their personal medical information. But I was happy to discuss me. And she was like, and all of us feel horrible about it. Just as horrible as we feel when we get attacked of for being a liar on Jeff Lewis. I don't know if maybe. Oh, that was me. That was me who received those attacks. But yes, yeah, so I understand what it's like to feel bad about things.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been suffering through: the pain of a tamogram. And you are completely supportive of that.
But she's like,
well, we just assumed that everything was fine, because if it wasn't, we would have, we heard the cheering, you know, the cheering. You remember, I think I heard, yay, I don't have cancer. I think I heard that. Oh, well, I was running lines. Something else.
And I love that we see the clip to Heather going, yay.
And so Shannon's like, yeah, no, we thought you were cheering. And Heather's like, we can keep couching this about what I texted you or how you felt about it. Four girls were sitting in a room and not one of you turned to me and nothing changes that one moment. And Gina's like, okay, but like that one moment was like that much to you that you held it in all this time. I can't believe you held something in for so long. So I'm just putting a pin in that comment. Because of what Gina's about to say. Gina drove me nuts this episode, Ronnie. I am telling you, she drove me nuts. So she's like,
yes, Gina. I heard things coming out of my mouth that I'd never said before. Like, yes, Gina.
So she's like, oh my God. Like, you know what? I can't believe it. Like, bothered you so much that you waited until all this time to say it. So Heather's like, well, you're the one that brought it up today. I was done last night, Gina. She goes, well, because I'm affected by it. I feel mad.
But that's your problem.
And she's like, okay, so...
Well, but then why does it come back to, oh, I'm not a good friend? She goes, well, now it seems like you're angry with me about it. And she's like, well, I'm not angry with you. I'm trying to figure out how to be a friend to you, Heather.
Well, she told you. I mean, look, in Heather's defense, she told you, ask her how she's doing when she gets her mammogram. I mean...
Yeah, okay. That's the thing. That's why this upsets okay. me. It's like, to me, it's like, this shouldn't be a thing, you know? And like, she got news that she didn't want to hear and you're still going to make her feel bad. And so Heather's like, oh, I am sorry. So my expectations of you shouldn't be, don't go to a girl who wants to come after me and say it's cool and fun. And Kate is like, oh, that was me, actually. That was a reference to me.
Because, you know, this is obviously a deeper thing, right? It's not really about the mammogram. Gina's like, you're always treating me like shit, like I did something wrong, and I didn't even do anything to you. Like, I don't even understand what I did to you or how I hurt your feelings. It's just like, whenever you're feeling bad, you just say your feelings are hurt. Like, I'm supposed to fucking know what that means. And then Heather's like, well, yeah, you're getting cold shoulder from me because you stood up for this idiot instead of me.
And you also told her to come after me. And then you actually then dropped her. So Heather's like, yeah, so fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. And I love Katie be like, that was me. That was, I played a role in this.
That was me, guys. Yeah, I did that. So then we see the clip of Katie gossiping with Gina and Heather and Emily about the paparazzi guy and how she's got the info that Heather did call the paps. And Gina cracks up and she's like, oh my God, Heather's gonna get herself in trouble.
So that Heather's like, don't you think that would be a good expectation to have of a friend? So Gina goes, well, I just wanted to go both ways. So like, when you're sitting on a couch with Andy Cohen and he makes a comment about my home, I would expect you to defend me. So Heather's like, what did I say? She goes, you didn't say anything. You were complacent. And so this is what I love this show. This show, they're having this big argument. We go to a flashback of Heather talking to an animated whale called the Shady Whale. I was like, this is so ridiculous. Heather got onto Gina's bad side because what she said to an animated whale.
Yeah, to the Shady Whale. And the Shady Whale's like, which of your fellow housewives would get the least amount of money if they sold their home? And Andy's like, I think it's Gina, right? She's poor. And Heather's like,
I haven't been to everyone's homes, so maybe someone's poor.
Like insinuating, like, maybe there's someone poorer than Gina. I don't know. The fuck would I know?
I don't go into homes made of mud. So Heather's like,
listen, when you see poor people, you don't differentiate between what kind of poor they are. They're all poor to me, Andy.
So Heather's like, well, what would you want me to say in that moment? And Gina's like, well, if Emily was there, you would have took up for me. And Emily's like, yeah, I would have said she's a badass, she's a homeowner. And Heather's like, well, you should have told me, because when I'm upset about something, I tell you, unless it's about a mammogram. Gina's like, yeah, well, okay, I get that. So Gina, on the heels of shaming Heather for having an issue about the mammogram and waiting 2 days to tell them at dinner, like, oh, if you had an issue, wow, you had to wait this long to tell us. Now it turns out Gina has an issue that goes back months about some shitty thing, some stupid thing that happened on Watch What Happens Live that honestly, whether it happened last night or 2 months ago, I think that Gina does not have much of a case here. Heather just sort of did not, Heather didn't say anything and she was polite. And now Gina's like all of a sudden making it seem like this was as offensive as not, as really anything, you know?
I think she has a slight point in that Heather is saying, oh, you should be, if you're my friend, you should stick up for me at all times. And Gina's like, you don't stick up for me. You were on national TV not sticking up for me and thought that was fine. I mean, yeah, it's old news, but it's still an example.
I can see, like, for sure, when you put it that way, I can see, like, I can see an emotional point of view there. But I just think that this is where Gina drives me nuts, is that she is lambasting someone. Take out the part that it's Heather. She's just lambasting someone for holding on to an issue they have with her for like 2 or 3 days. And then her retort is like, well, I have an issue with you that goes back 3 months. Ha. And it's like, yeah. What? Gina, you drive me nuts.
So, this is how Heather is. She's like, well, everything I said on Watch What Happens was true. So, if it was a different kind of interview, you know, it's just so Heather. Well, it was true. So, like, what are you going to do? She didn't say anything. I wouldn't be mad. Like, I couldn't imagine myself being mad. And Gina at that time was like being mad at Andy. And like, I get it. Like, that it hurts your feelings for that to be your thing that everybody's always making fun of that you're poor. But like, it's your thing. Like, what can I tell you? Like, we still do it. Yeah. And you're not even poor right now. And we don't care. Like, I've been poor. It's not like I'm some snob. It's just like your character trait. You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
And we also
survive this. Like, you're the lady of the Gather House. Okay. Everybody knows it.
Yeah. And by the way, also, like we also see that Heather had like posted something on Instagram that was like, Gina, we love you or something like that. Like, put like really supportive stuff online too. And Heather's like, after all
these, she of course points it out because, you know, but then after the show, I liked all of her things and I said, you're a queen. So then you did feel guilty, like you did something wrong.
Yeah, she probably did feel guilty. She probably did realize she could have stood up more. And, but the point is that like months later, Gina's like, by the way, you were a bad friend to me. It's like, you can't complain about something that happened. You can't attack someone for, you know, calling them a hypocrite over not bringing something to your attention for a few days when then you then respond with like a beef that you have for several months. It just, to me, it's just like, it's typical Gina that like, this is what she always does.
So then Gina's like, I mean, I had to work so hard to get where I am today. You know, like, back then, I didn't even know what cookie smell in the house meant. And now I know it entices buyers. Like,
You guys don't even know. I had to work so hard to get to where I am now. First of all, I had to get a bus. Then I had to transfer to another bus and then get on a light rail. And then finally, I made it to LAX. And now here we are in London. It was really hard getting here.
And let me tell you, it was really hard getting off of that bus because I really felt like a princess.
Little did I know there were buses that were like two buses in one. I could be even more of a princess.
So Gina's just frustrated. You know, she's like, fuck this. Like, I'm never bringing anything up again. And then Heather is talking to the other girl. She's like, what was I supposed to say? I mean, they said, who has the cheapest house in the group? I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that. That's mean. But you didn't say that. See, that's another Heather thing, to just lie about it. Like, you didn't say anything. You did not say, I'm not going to answer that question. That's mean. Maybe that's what you thought, but why you got to lie? And Tamara's like, you totally stood up for her. No, she didn't. That's, you got these two. I swear to God.
I did love Heather going, how do I know how much Gina's house is worth? Fucking bitch. I don't think they even have evaluations below a certain level. Do they have appraisals for shoeboxes?
One time I actually returned a bottle and I got Gina's house in return.
Do you know Coinstars actually accept Gina's house? I didn't say that, did I? Bitch. Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.